Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott, 7:05 in the morning here on April the 13th, 2016. Phone lines here, 605-4567. That just takes you into the wall of phones. It's a veritable wall of phones.
Okay, before we go anywhere
and
else.
We are streaming live at KCNR 1460 worldwide.
We have, see that camel in front of you, Bob?
No.
We need to pull it up. Because it is
Bob.
That day. Here we go.
Well,
wait a minute, because we can't start our Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
There we
Guess
go.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is hump day. And you know what, Bad Bob? You know what? The thing is that all of his blood is being used in this massive workout this man is doing.
He's so
moving
proud
around
of Bob.
Thousands of pounds of weight every day, shoving. He said he benched 300 pounds yesterday. Yeah, 30 pounds 10 times. But that adds up to 300 pounds. You know what? That's 300 pounds more than
so
I did.
So proud of you, Bob.
That's right. Good morning, everybody. What's the weather look like, sweetheart?
Good morning, everybody. Currently 50 degrees in the downtown studios. Mostly sunny today with our temperatures around 69. Rain likely tonight with our lows of 49. Showers tomorrow at 63. That will be our highs Thursday. And did it feel chilly this morning?
Oh, brr.
A little chilly this morning. Well, it was 3:30 when I took the dog out. Of course it was chilly. Thursday night at
it's
lows
of 49.
It's
not easy sleeping through those times when you take the dog out, but I worked at it.
Well, and sunny of 74 on Friday. Saturday looks like we're around 85. Talk about a jump. We're going to do the 20-degree jump this week. And Sunday is 88.
All right.
Get ready for your sunblock, folks. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
All right. Hey, by the way, in the chat room, which you, it says,
good morning.
It says, good morning, chat room. And we have, gosh, you know, see Jarhead and several other people
in
there.
Is Ben Gold in there?
Yep. Hey, and then he says, and now the hump day has been announced, and I can move forward. Thanks, Bob Schwarzenegger.
Bob Schwarzenegger. I love it.
Good morning, Angel. Okay, now, the one big thing we have to do before we get to our great guest of Hope Seth from the Economic Development Corporation is, Bob warned us about, there is a new way of getting into your computer, and they don't have to go through your firewall. You will let them in. It's called the Curiosity.
Actually, this is interesting. It's coming across wire, and it makes perfect sense when you think about it. So let's suppose you're in a coffee shop or even walking through the parking lot. You find on the ground or on a table or something a flash drive, one of those little USB thumb drives that you see everywhere. Well, by golly, you're curious. Maybe you'd like, maybe it's important. Maybe it's somebody's whole life pictures. Maybe all of mom's baby pictures are on this thing. So you get curious, you pick it up, you plug it into your computer, boom. It's a delivery system for malware. Now there's access to your computer. So if you find a random flash drive, if there's not any identifying marks on it, toss it because it is the latest method of delivering malware to your computer.
Remember what your mommy told you. Don't put anything in unless you know where it's been, right? You know, so you don't stick things in your mouth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Now we're
Wash
here.
Wash first.
Hope Seth is trying to leave, but we've got the door locked. It's too bad, Hope. You're in here with us.
Y'all are pretty entertaining.
Hey, you know
it's
what?
It's hump day.
It's hump day.
So.
Okay.
Pump.
We're here with Hope Seth, who is the Entrepreneur Director of the Economic Development Corporation.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, what's new, Hope?
lot of newness going on right now. So, as you know, the president of the Shasta EDC has Mark Lascelles, who's been the president for the last 6 years, is retiring. And he'll be with us through the end of April. But we have a new president.
When are we going to get him on? Next month?
Yeah, next month. His schedule is lined up all the way into May.
He's probably getting hit with a fire hose right
is
now.
Is he the Italian guy?
He is.
Okay, you talked about the Italian guy before.
Tony.
And so when you came in this morning, I was really excited about looking at your new website. Well, that has almost been, that's not quite launched to the public, so I feel like I'm privileged to be able to kind of get in. But one of the things that it says there, let's see, I dropped it. Let's see, that I thought was really, see why Shasta is north of expected.
Cool.
That's right.
That's cool.
Wow. That gives me chills. You know, obviously, you were talking about how you lived in Nashville and you lived in Reading, but you came back to Reading. And we're seeing all this energy, all this beautiful, there's something really that's brewing, that's starting to kind of like, it's in the earth and it's in the air and it's in the spirit of this. Hello, I guess the economic development is a good way of saying it in a way, but really kind of a rebirthing of Reading.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's it's within the community, and I believe economic development always tends to reflect the inner workings of your community. And so it's exciting. I feel like we're at a very exciting time in Reading's history.
I think so, too. I think that even though that Reading is usually brought kicking and screaming into the economy a couple years behind everybody else, maybe we should, you know, maybe we'll fix that so it's only like a couple of months. And if we have these have the capabilities that we have here, like with the we're still working, we're still pushing, and you can never count that it's going to happen, no matter how close it gets, it's still water. I know that Mark has put his head down on his desk before, and he probably hasn't cried because maybe Mark did cry. I'm not sure. And when he had one that was just there, and something happens in Europe,
right.
Not here in the United States, not here in Reading or Shasta County or even California, something happens in Europe.
Right.
And it takes the deal off the table.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the new website. Well, one of our initiatives that we began last year was a real branding of our region. Not necessarily of our organization, who needs to really know about our organization, but we want people to know about our region. And when we take our message out to the businesses outside our area, what do they see when they look into Shasta? And so we went on a real rebranding campaign for the region, and now you're seeing the website.
Fabulous.
Website as part of that. And one of the things that we're targeting is we are targeting those companies we've decided to be very targeted in our companies. Because those big
companies that
you talk about come along, it could take years for those types of things. I mean, that's the value of developers, right? They see decades down the road of where we're going.
They have to. That's where their studies are. And they look at other things, too, like what other big companies have rolled through here.
Well,
so,
words on the website.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to.
Okay. You want to do it before the break?
No, let's do it after the break.
By
the way, if you haven't heard, is Megan Rapinoe is going to be the Grand Marshal of the Reading Rodeo Parade this
May 21st.
Year. May 21st. And if you want to get your Rodeo Parade entries in, you can call Tom Spade at 227-6859. This year's theme is a tribute to the American cowboy. This year's parade will be on May the 21st, Linda's birthday. And the last date to enter is May 9th, 2016.
It might be fun to be in the parade this year.
Get by the Reading Chamber of Commerce, Lulu's Restaurant, or Paint Mart to pick up printed forms.
Be a pooper scooper.
With that in note, it is 7:15 in the morning. We have Hope Seth, who is entrepreneurial director, coordinator of the Economic Development Corporation right here in the city of Reading. We'll be right back.
Hectic schedule.
schedules, it seems that we have less opportunity to focus on ourselves. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Between my daily radio show, stage performances, and time with my husband, Carl, I was finding it harder to set aside quality me time that's so important to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And this is what Wellgate Sports Club represents. One of the things I love about Wellgate Sports Club is the aquatics training classes I'm taking with Kathleen Cowling. Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through the component of water resistance and buoyancy. Kathleen and Wellgate Sports Club has helped me find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205. You can also get scheduled information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. That's Wellgate Sports Club.
I think one of the major frustrations with people going to the big box store and trying to pick out their window coverings for their home is really hard to pick something out in the light any place but your own home. Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out, we'll bring all sorts of different samples, we'll listen to your needs, and we'll put together something that's going to fit within your budget and give you just what you're looking for. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds as a whole, there's approximately 1,100 franchises across the United States and Canada. So we have a lot of pull with manufacturers. A big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered. If the dog ate them or if the roof caved in, for whatever that reason might be, you're covered. My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window covering, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web, budgetblinds.com.
Get your motor running and cruise down to Wind River Resort and Casino Sunday, April 17th for our Show and Shine. No need to sign up. This free event is from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. in the parking lot. Space is limited, so get here early and show your classic car and enjoy a hot dog, chips, and soda on us. Additional hot dogs and chips available for $5. Favorite car wins free slot play. A live DJ will be mixing up your favorite oldies. Bring the whole family. Call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com. Classic cars are better at the river. Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. Bingo. Don't miss our monthly $24,000 bingo blowout, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400. $25 for two books. Additional books are only $5, plus 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game for a mystery prize. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. Wind River. For details, call 1-800-280-UIN or log on to windriver.com. Bingo calendar subject to change. Bingo is better at the river.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. It's Wednesday. It's 18 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on the 13th of April. 50 degrees, going up to 69 a day. It looks like a little rain. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Properties by Merritt and Aaron Richard. You know, Aaron is just an accomplished person, anything, a dancer, a very, very good.
Wonderful mommy.
Yeah, wonderful mommy. A top producing agent for Properties by Merritt. She'll take care of your needs when it comes to real estate. Give her a call at 949-9103 or richardrealestate.com. That's R-I-C-H-A-R-T. We're here with our friends from the Economic Development Corporation, Hope Seth. And Hope and is going to talk. And we've got Tony, who is going to be the new, CEO of the EDC, will be joining us next month after he gets his feet on the ground and gets a little more. You know,
Right now he's drinking from a fire.
That's right, and you know when he knows north from south here.
Right.
Okay, and one of the things on the on your new website, which is yet to be getting to be really launched, but we have an opportunity to look at it.
Well, there's three words. You know, there's a lot of things that let us know, first of all, when this is going to be launched.
Yeah, so we will launch it to the public here at the end of April.
Okay, it's going to be fantastic. And everybody should have this and share it in your social media. Share this to everybody that you know around the globe, because this is something that I think encapsulates the beauty of what we have here. And for those people who are perhaps on the fence whether they want to move here, start a business here, you've got three columns here, but the first one is move. Access to 50 million people in 24 hours.
Yeah, we have a large market. A lot of times when someone is looking at California, they're looking at California because of in terms of a company looking, let's differentiate that from an individual per se, is how close will their location be to their market to get their product to that customer, whether that's over in Asia, whether that's northwest, or whether that's even going south into the L.A. area.
Cost of 60% of living lower, 60% lower than San Francisco. Yeah. We know it does.
We all know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but still, it's nice to see it in the way it's done. That it's a presentation.
What it means is that if you're close to San Francisco, and you've got the capabilities of starting up here a lot easier.
Absolutely.
Or if you're in San Francisco, you can move a lot of people up here to expand your business at a much lower cost.
And that's a great lead into what we were going to talk about this morning with our tech companies. So, you know, there is some Silicon Valley tech companies that have chosen to put an office here in Redding because the cost of business is so much lower here than it is down in the Bay Area. And we've been seeing a great expansion in that front.
This is the rebirthing that we're talking about, because I can see as you're talking about this that people are coming into what they would maybe call a sleepy little town. That, you know, we do have a symphony, we do have a museum, you know, we do have culture here and art, but you know, we're ready to grow. We're mm-hmm. ready to expand. We need to do some things to bring this in. And one of them is, didn't we talk about the power cable line?
Well, we talked about fiber optics. I asked Doug LaMalfa, congressman, so why can't you find us $3 million to put a fiber optic cable right here in town? And after he danced around a little bit, he said, well, yeah, that would, you know, it's a good idea. He said, usually you have to have a business at the end of it. No, you don't. You need to have the fiber optic cable and businesses will come. I like that part of it. So would that be a big help?
You know, I came from a town prior to moving here that had municipal internet. They actually created it 10 years ago when it was first coming out. And they did use it a lot in their economic development efforts and recruiting the automotive industry. Now, the automotive industry really isn't going to choose California necessarily.
You were in Tennessee, right?
But it was definitely something that we touted. It was definitely something that our local businesses and the local public would be able to access at a lower cost than.
And you can make it a municipal thing like REU, because you can make it so it runs like that, and because you can pull it through the same cables and all that. Adam McElvain's idea, great idea, but we need $3 million. But if you have that and you have that option there, that opens up a lot of things for people that actually need a fiber optic cable to be able to even establish their business.
Well, and I've talked to many people who have moved here from the Bay Area for lifestyle. They come up for lifestyle, but they're telecommuting. They're working from here for another company, and the internet connection is a big deal. And that's one thing with the Shasta Venture Hub that we really tout is that we actually have fiber. We have a fiber network into our building with symmetrical speeds, 100 up, 300 down. I mean, really, really fastest internet you can find here.
But that brings people in. I mean, if you're looking for entrepreneurs, they're into the technology side of it. I mean, if you're growing a cow, maybe not so much, but how many cows are we growing nowadays? Except the ones that are all grazing out at Stillwater and have been. Okay, I had to get it
we're
in.
We'll have Tony come in and give you an update on, so I mentioned new website, new marketing efforts. We have rolled out a whole new marketing plan that is producing a lot more results than I think we've ever seen in terms of our efforts at the EDC, and I'll have Tony come in and share a little bit of those results.
And we'll wait for Tony, but can you kind of give us an idea, though, when you say that it's more people interested, we're getting a lot more hits on our, people, how many, unique visits are we getting to Reading that was looking at it going, oh.
Sure. So traditionally, recruitment efforts have been going to business trade shows that would be in industries that would be suitable for our region.
Which are?
Such as what are some of the ones?
Light
medical device, manufacturing, things like
light manufacturing.
Light manufacturing, mm-hmm. exactly. Food processing, recreational manufacturing. you know, recreational shows where they could do the manufacturing and R&D up here, those type of things. And those trade shows usually yield very little in terms of actual leads or results. The board decided to try a different approach this last year, and that is hiring a company that specifically learns your region inside out and then goes out and interviews C-suite level at companies to create those sit-down face-to-face appointments with companies that have a set criteria.
C-suite, is that the bosses?
Yep.
Okay.
The decision makers.
C-suites.
The decision makers. And so we have been great at getting...
We call it green room.
The green room.
Okay, good. So, we've changed our tactics now.
That's right.
Because our last tactics, no matter how good you are, if it's not working, you can't just keep beating your head against the wall. You've got to try other things.
That's right.
Have we ever thought about sending out small teams to, and the reason I say this is, I've been approached by a couple of times by a guy that came up here, started his business up here because it reminded him of Minnesota in the sense of trees and water. He says, there's a lot of people where I live, where I was working out of this industrial park. It wasn't like an industrial park, it's an industrial park, but it wasn't like heavy manufacturing. There's a lot of businesses in there, and he makes medical devices, by the way. He says, has anybody ever thought about sending a team like you two, young, sold on the area, going down, and you just go from business to business down there and just drop off a CD, say, you might want to look at this. It's because they're close-hold businesses, and the guy hires maybe four or five people. But he brought his business, his family up here, and they can't wait to get out of that Southern California mess that they're in. And so you kind of actually send out a point team and give them an area, and you can do it with some other research. And they just go into these smaller businesses instead of the bigger businesses on the C deck. You go in there and you approach people like that.
Yeah, that's another creative strategy. Or we're doing something very similar, except instead of having a team, since we do have limited resources and time and personnel at our office, but we are sending out our board will go on trips with the CEO to go down and have those sit-down face-to-face meetings. And they've actually yielded a couple companies planning to come up to see the area.
And I know that with your entrepreneurial hub thing where you're doing the entrepreneur,
startups.
The startups, and you got all the startups together. And that was really a good effort. But then, kind of going out to different universities and saying, come to Reading and offering them stuff, offering them, a storefront, offering them electricity, offering them mentoring and stuff like that to get some, but let them compete to get here, not just take anybody, but let's say we're going to take 10 of you from all over the country, and we're going to get you started in your dream.
That's right. Have you been sitting in and listening on some of our meetings?
I've been saying this for like 5 years, before it was falling kind of like out there, on fallow ground, but now with you, Hope, because you're the person that we need to do that, I know that you've started talking like that. I just think that will get young people in here. That you only need one that starts, Apple, or one that starts Yahoo, or one that feels the love here and builds something that's just extraordinary.
And I think we actually have some of the makings of that right here within the community, and that's really why we started this. And you've met Garrett with Limelight. Eric Casekin, who just
Eric's in here with us now.
He is working with Limelight now. He's a developer there, and he's working on another startup of his own. And we've seen Limelight start 2 years ago with an idea and an app. And they have 35 employees. Their offices in San Francisco.
Limelight is the medical.
That's Garrett Biggers.
Biggers.
Okay.
And that has to
Wonderful
do with
musician too.
Yeah. So that's a health insurance right. Quoting app, so that you can compare insurance plans and for insurance companies and brokers can compare.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show, though, talking about health, is brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club, located at 1740 Eureka Way, down on Eureka Way and Court Street. It is an outstanding sports club. It's got it all. It's got a spa, Bohem Spa's in there.
Freshwater pool is amazing.
Saltwater pool.
Aquatic classes in there, and they're just fantastic.
Linda comes back all pumped. can't move, but she comes back pumped.
No, I do. I can move. That's
can
a good
move.
Thing.
It's got it all there. And you know what? Really nice people. Towel services. It's clean. Every machine you can think of. You never have to wait to get in and start lifting, except if I'm there, because I take all the weights and lift all at one time. Give them a call at 768-1205. Join our Spartan Club, because we are making we have a race in November. I expect Hope Seth to be a member of our team, the Spartan team, on their 3-mile obstacle race in Sacramento.
Do you want me to be on your encouragement team or what?
No, I want to see you out
there.
I want to see you out there. I want to see you with your shield out there.
I'm on the water team.
Linda's going to spray us as we go by. Now, I expect to see Hope out there on the team. You know, just get out there and wear a shirt that says, "Follow me to Reading." We'll be right back after these messages, 7:31 in the morning.
Reading Kia has temporarily moved.
Not very far, just a couple hundred yards to the west.
So they can build a new and bigger and better showroom and service facility for you.
It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be incredible when it's completed.
Reading Kia has temporarily moved to 380 East Cypress while they build their new facility. So let's have a move-in sale.
All 2016 Kia Sorentos, 16 Kia Optimas, Fortes, Sportages, Souls, and Rios are priced to move.
Make no payments for 90 days on new 16 Optimas and Sorentos, Reading's go-to fun vehicle.
0% financing available on certain models.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations with every new car purchased.
And America's best warranty.
Head them up. Move them out. Come on in.
Subject to prior sale. Sale ends April 16th. Must finance through Kia Motors Finance for 0% offer, plus tax, license, government fees, any dealer documentation fees, and any emission testing charges.
Well done.
Reading Kia has temporarily moved.
Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and ReadingKia.com.
Don't miss the moving sale at Reading Kia.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abbott. Good morning. It is 7:33 in the morning on the 13th of April. 50 degrees going out to 69 today. We are here with Hope Seth and the Economic Development Corporation. She, of course, is the entrepreneurial director of the Economic Development Corporation, and she's got a lot of great things that are happening. She brought in a gentleman, and we have a lady just walked in, too, that we're going to be talking about. So, Hope, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so we are real excited about some of the initiatives and efforts that we really see are going to be able to help grow our startup and tech community in the region. And that looks like educating and creating platforms for tech education. We have to get in the fore. We got to get ahead of the curve of where we are with tech education in our community. That's where jobs are going. And so, one of those things is we met Faye. You know, we met Faye a couple years ago, and she's been working on creating. She's been working with the youth and doing a lot of coding and tech with youth, and now she's working on creating a platform for tech education that looks like web developers and web applications and platforms. And so we're real excited to have her. And
so, Faye, tell us what's going on with that. You've been on at least one time before. We're really happy to hear how you were working with that.
Yeah, thank you for having me back.
So what's going on now with your latest?
Well, latest is For a while, we've been doing like little workshops here, coding classes. Now we're getting more serious. So we're having this more intensive, like really giving people not just have a taste about what's coding like and educate the general public what's coding about, you know, so don't scare people away. So we're pulling people in, and now we're getting serious to go into, like, dive in, like, more intensive, like, boot camp, like, 8 weeks, and get into the full stack of development.
Okay, so then you've got an 8-week boot camp on coding. Now, yes. At the end of that 8 weeks, are people able to find a job coding?
They can definitely find a, like, entry-level job at the locals, or, you know, that's the idea, to boost the local economies, and we have a connection with local tech companies, and that actually really looking for, like, qualified employees.
And a coder starting off can be looking at how much would you say a salary?
Wow.
Generally,
I would say...
Let's put that question to Eric. Eric is one of our master developers here in the region. What would you say?
It varies depending on the skill set you're going with. Oftentimes, you can start anywhere as low as 50, but the median probably is around between 60 to 75. And it can range all the way up to 150.
And that's a year?
A year, yes.
Okay, Eric, explain to our listeners what a master developer does.
I wouldn't call myself a master developer. I would say that I've had a lot of experience.
He's really good, though.
I'd say a full-stack developer is the common standard of today's industry. And that means that a full-stack developer can basically go and do the server stuff as well as the front-end and other stuff that needs to be done. They have a full understanding of a full spectrum of website web development.
So you can go in and you can write the code to develop a product, and then you can put it on the web itself, and then you can do all the troubleshooting.
Yes.
All the way down to the server.
And in full stack development, oftentimes there's you'll hear the term full stack a lot more and more over time. And this day and age, it seems more like you get a full stack developer, that means they can do anything that anybody else can do, which creates, you know, really dynamic and powerful teams. But oftentimes in those teams, you're going to have those people that are very specific to a skill set. So, like, for myself, I'm a full-stack developer, but I emphasize in the front-end development. So I know, like, UX and front-end work.
Okay, what's front-end?
Front-end is the markup that makes the visuals actually happen for your representation. So when you actually go to a website, you see content. You see how it's laid out and how you're going to use it.
And you do all that through coding?
Yes.
Okay. Can I learn coding?
Yes. And now it's better time for anybody because the platform is getting easier and easier, sort of like an iPhone, you know, versus a computer desktop like 20 years ago.
And tomorrow, Faith, you were talking about a bits and bytes.
Beer and bites.
Beer and bites.
Yes.
Well, there's bits
involved. There's bits of food involved.
So
yes.
There's a, let's tell, well, share with our listeners, is it open to the public? What's happening?
Sure. So Beer and Bites is actually an event that the EDC started about 3 years ago and 3.5 years ago. And the purpose of it was to connect the startup community. So entrepreneurs, developers like Eric, designers, the creatives who are doing the front end work, mentors, who are the business mentors in our community, who are the investors that want to invest in these startups. And it was really a networking mixer that we started. And so we've continued that on. We meet about every, you know, 4 to 5 times a year. And tomorrow night we have our first one of this year. And we're excited. We're bringing up a speaker out of Fresno. Her name's Irma, and she was the tech co-founder of Bitwise Industries, which is really kind of they call themselves the mothership of technology, education, and collaboration in Fresno. And then they started something called Geekwise Academy, and it's a coding academy, and they have put 2,500 individuals through these coding academies. They have 90 startups that have come out from what their work is, and she's going to be up tomorrow night here sharing their story. How did they do it?
Okay, so location, is there a price to get in, and again, time?
Yeah, sorry. So it's at the Shasta Venture Hub, which is 4300 Caterpillar. It's from 5 to 7. There's no cost, but it would be great if you wanted to RSVP so that we can just count you in on terms of a food count and put you on the list. And the way you RSVP is by calling 224-4920.
Sounds pretty cool. Now, Faye, you were here before, and you were talking about we had two summer programs for kids. on learning about coding and computers that you had. It was terribly successful. Yes. Are you still doing that?
Yes, we already had people signing up for summer camp since halfway full. So
you need to come out and do this because it's just a great educational opportunity for your kids out there, and it's run through our Park Service. And and so then after that, then you went into the boot camp. I heard it was just 30 days. Now it's gone to 8 weeks, huh?
Yes.
Gosh, probably next time would be 12 weeks. Maybe I should jump in. Is that all day long?
Well, it's not. It's right now it's tailored to the people that work and that want to change career. So it's on weekends. So
oh, okay.
On Sundays, so half day in the morning. I hope that's totally doable for some people want to have a career makeover.
I like that.
Yeah, so you're doing it on half-day Sundays.
Yes.
And coding, as we heard from Eric, who is obviously into this as well as Faye, is starting out at around that $50,000 a year mark, but usually maybe even a little bit higher than that. And you can work from home.
Yes. Now lots of a telecommuting job, and you can literally just be in pajamas and work for a really tech company in either Silicon Valley or New York. Yeah.
No, I can't do it because Linda's just picturing he puts on his camouflage overalls and he's walking through the house all day with a little computer and a thing in his ear going, sitting outside with the dog.
While he's cleaning his gun.
Well, I'm cleaning my gun. Oh, man, I'm making $85,000 a year. Hi, honey.
Don't laugh. There's probably people.
Don't laugh. There is. Eric, now, what exactly do you do? You work with who now?
I work with Limelight Health, and I started with them about 4 months ago. I'm a full-stack developer for them, and we work with technologies such as AngularJS and Node.js, full mean stack, which is just types of frameworks, really, if you wanted to get down to it.
Yeah, he had to explain it because he saw my eyes roll back and my head hit the back of the wall.
It's really like a foreign language. Actually, I had someone suggest, what if we actually required either a foreign language or computer programming in high school?
There you go. Yeah. You know what? Because it would be the same. Okay, but it's not just this. I went to the Healing Waters fly fishermen. Their jargon and form of English, I didn't understand where I was there either. I mean, they were talking about stuff. I'm just looking at them, and they're all going, nodding their heads. Just like you did. You said something, and you two nodded your heads. Linda and I looked at each other. Okay, so is this a rich area for people that want to get into this type of work?
It's starting to become one. In the past 3 years, we've watched a boom of technology just rise really fast here in Reading. I don't know if there's a time to mention RAD or whatever, but 3 years ago I started RAD, Reading Area Designers Developers, in order to kind of start reaching out into the public and create a community, because that's what I realized when I was in the Bay Area, that what built their area is the strong community of reaching out to people and talking to them about like-minded interests. So in Reading we started that, and we're about 150 plus strong now, and it's grown more and more. I mean, there's a lot of really high-level technologists here in Redding, California. A majority of them are probably at Limelight right now. We have some really, really talented people over there.
Okay, so, but you're having, is it hard finding people?
Yes.
Okay, so they're having to reach out. But here's where somebody could go to Faye's class. Would her class help give them at least the basic to be able to come to work there?
It'll get them started to understanding what they need to know, for okay. sure. It's going to get to where we're at with the kind of work that we're doing. It does take a rigorous amount of learning,
right?
And probably most likely, it's going to take you about a year plus of solid nonstop learning.
Okay,
and we're talking 8 hours a day study.
All right,
but you can do it, and that's her class is amazing, and it's a great way to start your life.
Okay, now again, we've run out of time, and. I think we have a rodeo, one of the rodeo bullfighters, the clowns out there, which is more my level. But thank you so much, Hope. Now, when is Beer and Bites? Tomorrow night, out on Caterpillar Road. But give us all the information.
Sure. Tomorrow, 5 to 7 at the Shasta Venture Hub. 4300 Caterpillar Road from 5 to 7, and you can RSVP at 224-4920.
Okay, and how do they get a hold of you for your classes?
My adult,
or for more information?
Yes, it's codedreading.com. For adults and for kids, it's buildedreading.com.
Okay, codedreading?
Yes.
C-O-D-E-I-T, reading?
Yes.
.com. And for you, Eric, if somebody just wants to talk to you or listen to you?
Well, you can find me all over the place. Just Google me. Rad. You can find Rad at radd.us or radding.org. And go from there.
Good.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. It's just every month it seems like it gets better. Okay. Hey, we got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with the Red Bluff Roundup.
A pretty girl can make young men look foolish. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. We had just repaired Julia's car, and she said, "I don't know anything about cars. Could a friend inspect it for me?" About that time, three young men arrived. Of course, their individual goal was to impress her by finding something wrong with the repair. The first guy said, "There is a blemish in the fender. This is not acceptable." "Yes, I see," I said. The second said, "The quarter panel is wavy. This also is not acceptable." "Yes," I agreed. The third scolded me. "If you look closely, you will see this door is perfect. This door should be the standard for the entire vehicle." I agreed, and they were surprised. We walked back to the waiting room. Julia smiled at us. I said, "Well, we looked it all over, and we all agree. The door we repaired is perfect. Right, guys?" Yes, someone replied. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
You talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. April 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved, you award world champion points, and you pay the highest purse, and I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. For 95 years, this has been one of the biggest three-day rodeos in the country. Friday night is Tri-Counties Bank and Food Max Family Night. Saturday is sponsored by Wells Fargo Bank and Yeti Coolers. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital and Haleakala Ranch Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Get your tickets now at redbluff.com. And hey, Saturday night after the rodeo, don't miss Egg Time. Brought to you by Diamond Dove. Oh yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy. For deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Any kid knows where to find me. I'm Bandy the Rodeo Clown.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 12 minutes until 8 o'clock. I tell you what, tell me we aren't doing a lot of different things here. We just had Hope Seth and the economic development community in here talking bits, bytes, and coding. And we, you know, and which I didn't understand a word they said, but now we got rodeo, and I understand some rodeo here. So we're here again with Ruth. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. Always good to be here.
For the Red Bluff Roundup, we went to a luncheon yesterday out in Red Bluff Roundup.
What a great
time put on by the Rotary, Tough Enough to Wear Pink. Fantastic at the Grounding Ranch. We're going to have a grounding on tomorrow.
John Grounding will be on tomorrow for an hour. Yeah.
And but with us this morning, we're very excited to have Wolfie.
Hey.
Who is our rodeo clown and barrel, what do you call it, barrel guy, barrel,
Barrel man, barrel boy, whatever you want to call me. Yeah, I'll take it.
Some people probably didn't realize what a sexual overtone there was to yesterday's luncheon out there at Grounding Ranch.
I do have that effect on ladies.
I tell you what, you know what? If you know, people paid $100 to have Wolfie go over and kiss him. And then
I know she bought the kids. I think I was so excited about $100 coming my way. She was going to get one regardless.
But she kept getting them after that, too. I mean, and then
I'm a giver.
Then he went over. Somebody else bought him, and he just, it was such a, you know, it was sadness in your face as you had to go leave her and go to somebody else for a kiss.
I hate taking care of the ladies.
I got to tell you something. I kudos and shouts out to Wolfie here, because I just think that as we go to rodeo and we love rodeo, and we love the whole danger part of rodeo and the excitement of rodeo and the family feeling atmosphere and the sportsmanship. Wow, to be the rodeo clown is, I don't think a lot of people put the thought into how agile and how much work and how much ballet and how much coordination it takes for you to keep it all together.
I'm glad you tell them all that.
It's the truth. So, Wolfie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
No, you bet. I'm from Red Bluff, California, born and raised right here in the North State, and I just love what I do. You're right. It does take a little bit of agility, a little, I don't know, though. Anytime there's a 1,600-pound animal behind you, you get agile, whether you are or not.
Agile,
oh,
hostile.
Man.
Did you ever think growing up, okay, you Red Bluff, so it's in your blood, you know, you're around cowboys. How did you decide I'm going to be that guy in the middle that paints my face and makes sure the bulls don't gore the other guy?
Oh, shoot. It started for me at 12 years old. I got to start feeding hay out at Grounding's Ranch, and it was pretty nice when you're feeding Red Rock, the legend, right there at the barn. You can't beat it. So 12 years old, started there feeding hay, and as soon as I could drive, they let me go on the road with them. Because until you had a license, you were no use to them. But, yeah, from 15, that was my summer camp every year. I was getting to rodeo with, shoot, legends in the game. Joe Bumgarner, Donnie Kish, John Grounding, Lloyd Faria, you name it. That list goes on and on. And 15 also, I in my art class there in high school at the Red Bluff High School, we built a bull costume and became the first mascot, the first recognized PRCA mascot in professional rodeo. So it's pretty neat. You get to work in the same arena with Flint Rasmussen, the PBR clown, and yeah, I've got to watch all the masters work from inside of a Chuck E. Cheese style suit. So not too bad.
Okay, now Wolfie, the thing is, there's you have your bullfighters and you have your barrel guy.
Yes, sir.
Now that's two separate groups or two separate
absolutely.
People. Now they're right there and they're slapping the bull's nose, but you're right out there too with all this going on.
Yeah, most of the time people are watching the actions. They don't really pay attention to what the barrel man's doing, but a real barrel man will slide in and he basically becomes a lineman for you.
Yeah.
He's going to get close to the wreck without getting in it and take that one good shot if you guys need it to get out of the way. So I'm basically just a moving fence out in the middle of the arena that somebody can run to if they can't quite get to the outside fence.
Okay. And people, you know, and you just love watching you pick up the barrel and you just get closer and closer because you'll know some bulls. You know all the bulls, obviously.
It's no different than, I'm a 49er fan, so it's no different than giving Ronnie Lott a 15-yard head start on you or giving you two steps. I'll give him two steps all day.
Yeah. But the 15 yards, you don't really especially want that 15 yards.
No, that's when you close your eyes and start praying.
Okay, so give us, give us the best and the worst. Let's give us, you know, share with us some of the one of the scariest or, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I got through that.
Oh, the scariest. By far, I got hit so hard in Baker City, Oregon, that it threw me in the barrel about 4 foot in the air. And end over end we went. And every time I thought he'd quit hitting me, he hit me again. And, yeah, on that train wreck, you just hope it stopped. And finally we hit the fence. I thought, hit me again, you son of a gun. And sure enough, he did. So I thought, oh, okay, I'm good.
Wow. I'll stop hearing you this. Okay, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Wow. And so here you are. Yeah, you came back. You came back for more.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to get me this time, buddy.
Shake them off and get back at it.
How much do you travel a year?
Oh, we put about 40,000 miles on our truck each year and fly to a handful of others. So mm-hmm. It's pretty busy now. Things have finally gotten good. So Mm. Just chase everything they'll give you now.
Well, I tell you what, your outfit with the what do you call it? A stovepipe hat.
The mayor of some town.
Yeah, that's right. Now you know what,
mayor of the rodeo.
Wolfie is just really funny too. You get up, and he's out there in front of a crowd. I mean, you know how to work people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's for sure. Yeah, you know people were pushing $100 bills on you.
I love that. I know. Hey, everybody coming to the rodeo, bring as many $100 bills as you can.
Because he'll be on the fence, be able just to collect them as he
Take
goes by.
Everyone you got.
That's right. And it's going for a good cause, the children of Wolfie. So
yeah, I do have a 4-year-old. That's college fund.
Hey, the rodeo begins 7 p.m. on April 15th and at 2:30 on April 16th and at 1:30 on April 17th. Of course, this year, new mutton busting for the littlest cowboys and cowgirls, which is one of my favorite parts, prior to the rodeo on Friday, April the 15th. And also new this year, wild pony races for the kids.
It's awesome.
Oh, my God.
Tell you what, those kids
the wild
yesterday.
Horse last year. Oh. I got the adrenaline rush of my lifetime with the wild horse that got out last year and ran in the stands. I was there that night.
I thought you were going to jump on and ride.
I was on the
you
top.
You had a chance. You had a chance to win because not one horse got all the way around.
That's the exciting thing about rodeo. You never know what's going to happen. It's just, it's really the thrill of a lifetime. And guess what, guys? We've got tickets. We have Sunday tickets. So we're going to give two sets of four here for your family. That's this Sunday. Give us a call here, 605-4567. That's 605-4567. It's 1:30. Really great seats too, you guys. There's not a bad seat in the whole place anyway. So you're going to get a set of tickets here. Give us a call.
And also, now tomorrow night, they've got the mixer tomorrow night starting at 5:30. The Cowboy Golf Tournament on the 15th. The after party with Chad Bushnell on the 15th starting at 10:30 p.m. after the rodeo. Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast, April 16th, 7 to 10 a.m. For those who are just coming home from the after party, you can walk over there with Wolfie and have some pancakes.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's a beautiful thing to be able to know that
from
you're still...
From the Palomino Room to Pancake.
There you go. And you know what? And there's plenty of room there, too, because, you know, you've just been drinking just a little that night, so you're ready to go, because then you can eat the pancakes, get you ready for the rodeo that afternoon. There you go. Concert by country music artist Exile, the 16th at 7 p.m. This is the 95th year for a Red Bluff Roundup.
So, Ruth, every year you travel through, and we're giving tickets away yet, so right now, so we'll find out who the winners are. But you're with this great group of people that put this rodeo on, and it takes so many people to have the working parts and have it be successful. What does this year mean for you?
Just to see a group of volunteers who spend so much of their own time and resources and equipment and expertise put this on. I mean, I don't think the public realizes that we have 30,000 people come to this rodeo. It's got a multi-million dollar impact on the city of Red Bluff and the area. And it's all done by volunteers. We've got two paid employees. I mean, that's it. And
that's amazing.
I would say
two paid employees?
Two paid, yep.
Everything else is volunteers?
Yes.
You volunteered for this, Wolfie?
Absolutely.
Not counting Wolfie.
Not counting Wolfie.
Hey, no, I make $100 bills at a time.
That's right. Wolfie kisses girls for $100 a piece. You know what? I want the secret of Wolfie. I want the Wolfie secret.
Well, as long as you have the face paint on, the wife's okay with it.
Okay. But here... Because it's a job, but you know, here's the fascinating thing about, again, we want to get clear here that to have the expertise is that you've worked with the stock or not the lots of stock. You've worked with the cowboy. I mean, you basically know what's going on while these rodeo while the time. We've got 1 minute left.
1 minute.
Okay,
left.
So let's just tie up by saying, what does it take for you to get ready to get out there in the ring?
Oh, for us to get ready, it's. We get to do it so much that you get your own routine. You kind of loosen up. You get to talk to your buddies and kind of keep things light because it is pretty serious when we get out there in the bull riding. But you get to loosen up and tell a few jokes, try to kiss those ladies for a little bit of time ahead of so you kind of loosen
hey,
up and get ready for those hits in the barrel.
So. Hey, I'm putting you on Facebook where that lady stuffed that $100 into your pants.
I'm
going to
stand in
there.
Line on when we get there. I'm going to look for you so I can get a little white a little white kiss on my.
And if you're not able to make makeup every day of the roundup, I'm going to be live tweeting from the arena. Ooh. So check it out at Clint Sylvester and Twitter. Follow us. We'll be doing fun stuff. Tell you how cool the wild pony races are.
It's the Red Bluff Roundup. We have winners.
You got to come out just to watch Wolfie, plus with all the other things. Okay, thank you so much.
And John Browning tomorrow.
That's right. The Red Bluff Roundup. Can't miss it. And by the way, Carrie, you have 4 tickets. The Red Bluff Roundup.
See you there, Carrie. $100 bills.
We'll be right back.
Awesome. KCNR, Shasta Redding. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The Islamic State terrorist group's online magazine is now praising the attackers who murdered 32 people in Brussels last month. And it's hailing two brothers who were suicide bombers in the attack as key actors in the November bloodbath in Paris as well. A new poll says nearly 6 in 10 Republican voters believe that the presidential candidate who heads into the GOP convention with the most delegates should wind up as the nominee. The Associated Press GFK survey says 58% of Republicans surveyed say that should be the case, even if that candidate does not have a clear majority. House Speaker Paul Ryan, meanwhile, trying to make it crystal clear he is not running for president.
Count me out.
The Speaker telling delegates,
I simply believe that if you want to be the nominee for our party, to be the president, you should actually run for it. I chose not to do this. Therefore, I should not be considered, period, end of story.
Speculation over a possible Ryan candidacy had become a big distraction. Ryan.
That is Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. It's the latest sign that American consumers are reluctant to spend freely. U.S. retail sales fell last month as Americans cut back on their car purchases. Producer prices in March were down for the fifth time in the past 8 months.
The Labor Department says its producer price index slipped by 0.1% in March following a 0.2% decrease in February. Food costs dropped 0.9%, while energy prices went up 1.8%.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Tens of thousands of Verizon landline and cable workers on the East Coast have walked out. Their primary concern, the outsourcing of jobs.
You can give us all the wage increases in the world. If you don't have a job, you never see them. So 6% of nothing is nothing.
That's Communication Workers of America International Vice President Ed Mooney. On Wall Street, the major index is doing well in early trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up by 104 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
The tiny bone fragments formally turned over to the U.S. today carry a world of significance for loved ones left behind in the aftermath of the death of those on a transport plane over India back in World War II. Defense Secretary Ash Carter commenting today during a military flight.
Those guys whose remains are in those coffins would have wanted that and would be proud and happy to be home, and their families too.
At the White House this afternoon, President Obama set to attend his final science fair.
Since 2010, the president has invited some of America's brightest children to visit the White House and showcase their best science experiments and products. He said science students ought to be recognized like the sports champions who come here on a regular basis. This year's science fair features more than 130 participants.
This White House correspondent Greg Clugston, breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Even as Americans prepare to file their taxes, senators are asking questions about IRS cyber attacks. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen says securing the IRS computer systems and taxpayer data is a top priority.
Even with our constrained resources, we devote significant time and attention to this challenge. We work continuously to protect our main computer systems from cyber attacks and to safeguard taxpayer information stored in our databases.
He says there are more than 1 million attempted cyber attacks every day. CDC Deputy Director Dr. Ann Shukat said U.S. health officials are especially concerned about the Zika virus being spread in the U.S. by mosquitoes.
Unfortunately, we don't have perfect data on the full extent of where this mosquito, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, lives.
But she says the more researchers learn about the Zika virus, the scarier it appears to be, and they're worried about birth defects in babies when their mothers come down with Zika while they are pregnant. More of these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. April the 13th, and it is 5 minutes after the hour of 8 right here at Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460. 605-4567 is our phone number, 530 if you're out of area. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com worldwide. Hello, Linda.
Good morning.
You know, you look good.
Well, good morning, everybody. That was kind of, wow, what a whirlwind. Fantastic morning, 8:05 in the morning, currently 51 degrees in the downtown studios. We'll be mostly sunny today with our highs of around 69, rain likely tonight with temperatures around 49. Showers likely tomorrow on Thursday with our highs of 63, Thursday night lows of 45. As Friday approaches, our highs will be 74. Now, next, this weekend, you guys, Friday, Saturday is going to be around 85. So we've gone a 20-degree temperature change there. Sunday will be 88. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793.
This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. They have it all, whether it's estate jewelry, brand new stuff. They have the only trained watch repair maker in the whole area is right there at Four Winds Jewelry. Yeah, a little change in ownership, but, you know, the service is still simply outstanding. This is where we go for our jewelry. This is where Linda stops first and looks in there, and she finds great things to buy. She loves it down there. It's nourishing practically for Linda. Four Winds Jewelry, 222-2750, open Monday through Friday.
And by the way, again, we know that it's Red Bluff Roundup when we just had the rodeo clown on. It was just a kick in the pants.
Wolfie. I didn't know if I should leave you outside with Wolfie while I was inside.
He's hilarious. Anyway, so Carrie, congratulations. Those tickets are for you at the front desk here at 1326 Market Street. And by the way, folks, for those who are listening, four more tickets we have right now to give away, 605-4567. That's for Sunday, this Sunday, Tehama District Fairgrounds. It's the Red Bluff Roundup. Four tickets, so you can take your family, and it starts at 1:30, so you could get in your morning activities,
church,
whatever, and go to the rodeo.
Right.
Give us a call, 605-4567, and four more tickets coming your way.
And speaking of rodeos, here's Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti.
I'm glad you said speaking of rodeos, not another clown.
No, I didn't. You know what? I was not going to say that, but I tell you what, I bet you guys feel like bullfighters out there sometimes. You'd like to put on clown makeup so nobody could recognize you and slap that bull.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sometimes.
But you know what? Just when you... No, I would never say anything about clowns, but I'm thinking rodeos, so I can just imagine there's certain times of the month when it's full moon that your guys are coming on shift and they're looking at that, and you can hear the miscreants loading into the chutes. I mean, you just know they're loading into the chutes, and you're hearing the thumping and this and that, and they're getting ready.
Trying to get them corralled back up.
They're in the chutes now, and then when they get out, unfortunately.
Get them corralled and keep them in the
corral. Yeah, unfortunately, that instead of letting them out one at a time and letting you work at them, they open all the chutes at one time, and then you're into the wild cow milking contest. Trying to get milk from a cow who doesn't want to let it down.
Yeah, okay. No, it's been busy. We're up about first quarter of this year, we're up about 250 calls for service over last year. So it's still getting busier and busier.
I want to congratulate Fred. He won tickets, but he only wants two, so two more tickets.
Two more tickets are
two
available.
Two tickets are available.
All there right. For the Red Bluff Roundup this Sunday, give us a call.
Call early and call often.
605-405-67. Thanks. Anyway, so you're Chief Paletti.
Uh-huh.
I was going to call you by your first name, but you should be called Chief Paletti. You're saying you're up.
We're up about 250 calls for service, 200, somewhere right in there, over the first quarter of last year. So that's actually relatively steady. I mean, that's going to put us, if it stays true to that, it'll put us about 1,000 calls over this year, which would put us right in that 95,000 calls for service mark that we did 94.8 last year or something like that. So
now, crime's up.
Crime's up on the property crime side. Realistically, and, you know, we did the town hall meeting two weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those slides are actually on ReadingPolice.org. They're under the resources tab and the crime stats, and you'll see them there. There was a little bit of an anomaly in our violent crime because the Bureau of Criminal Justice Statistics actually redefined how we have to count a rape. So even though rapes were down two, they were actually – now we have to count an attempt as a rape. They did this with burglary, auto burglary a few years ago. So it throws off the statistics a little bit.
If they try to break into a car and they don't do it, it's still counted as a burglary?
If he attempts a rape, then it counts as a rape. So when they change the definition of what we have to count, it throws off the statistics a little bit. So violent crime overall is relatively steady. Where we had the increase was property crime. And the big portion of that, we've been doing this seesaw thing back and forth with burglary and auto theft. One is up, one is down. The other one goes up, the other one goes down. And they've been kind of seesawing back and forth over the last 4 years. Those stayed, did the same thing. General larceny, general theft is still what is up. And if you look at our general larceny, the vast majority of that is still theft from a motor vehicle because we're leaving stuff in our cars for them to steal. So I'll never tell a victim that they deserve it. What I will say is here's how you prevent from being a victim. You should be able to leave stuff in your car and have it there when you get back. The reality is there's people that will steal from you, so you got to stop leaving stuff in your car. I mean, I'm in here for, an hour of this show, but my bag is over here with my computer in it next to me rather than sitting in my car. So just think ahead. Think from that crime prevention standpoint. The only thing that's in my car right now they could steal is my lunch, and I might get a little upset about that if I get back out to my car. But, you know, you really do need to continue. We still have about 39% of our burglaries have no forced entry, which means we're leaving our windows, doors, and garage doors open for them to steal. So please think from that crime prevention standpoint. We've been talking about it for 4.5 years now. But, you know, lock your stuff up and think, and we should do a little bit better. But we've made some good improvements. There's a slide deck in that presentation on the new neighborhood police unit. That was from a couple of weeks ago. But as of yesterday in the first quarter of the year, we started that unit in January. They've made over 200 arrests since they started. They've got about a quarter pound of methamphetamine, about 20 pounds of marijuana for sales. Those guys are out there. Shows you what six cops with proactive time can do.
Wow. So then I think the other thing we might want to look at is homes being left open, cars being left open. Let's get down to I tell you what, it's going to take a little bit longer. So let's take an early break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air and voted best in the North State. They've been in the business well over 20 years. Better known business. And the reason they're voted best in the North State is they're the best in the North State. Whether it's a heating system or cooling system, Martin and his people can fix it. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. That's Alliance Heating and Air. Very, 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 very good. Take care of you. All right, we'll be right back after these messages with Redding Police Chief Rob Clay.
As working women with hectic schedules, it seems that we have less opportunity to focus on ourselves. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Between my daily radio show, stage performances, and time with my husband, Carl, I was finding it harder to set aside quality me time. That's so important to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And this is what Wellgate Sports Club represents. One of the things I love about Wellgate Sports Club is the aquatics training classes I'm taking with Kathleen Cowling. Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through the component of water resistance and buoyancy. Kathleen and Wellgate Sports Club has helped me find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205. You can also get scheduled information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. That's Wellgate Sports Club. NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. For all your coffee and espresso needs, Tobacco and Brew. Walk in next door as you walk into the largest walk-in humidor in the North State. They are veteran-friendly, and they've been our sponsor since we started here 7 years ago. Thank you so much to Joe and Shelley of Tobacco and Brew. Great place to go get your coffee. By the way, we still have two tickets left for the Red Bluff Roundup this Sunday. We're going to be giving tickets away all week, but this morning, right now, these are Sunday tickets. Two tickets to the Red Bluff Roundup. Give us a call, 605-4567. And because we're feeling generous, if you want to make it four, you just happen to have an extra. So we can do a family of four for Sunday afternoon, 605-4567, and we're going to give those tickets away right now.
Or if you have a posse. If you have a posse, might be able to work that out too. Hey, 8:18 in the morning here, 51 degrees, going up to 69. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti. So you went from 84,000 calls a year,
yes,
to 94,000 calls.
Since 2008, yeah. The Reading Police Department averaged around the mid to low 80,000, and last year we hit 94, like it was 94.8.
94.8.
I don't have the slides in front of
okay.
me. They're online. So, yeah, that's a big increase.
Do you break it down yet? I know you don't have any new computer system, but do you break it down into what kind of calls they are?
Well, we do by priority type, and that's why we also did the response time. And actually, with the current shift schedule that we're using, we actually decreased calls the response time last year too, from 1558 to 1453, which
is that for emergencies?
For priority one.
Okay, what's priority one?
Yeah, we have a priority zero, and priority zero is you got a homicide and it's taking place now. But we only get like 26 of those a year, 25, it's the real bad ones. So it's not a real good gauge of response time because there's so few of them. If you look at priority one, which is most of our general emergencies, we have about 1,200 to 1,300 a year. And we actually decreased by 100 calls for service, priority one calls for service last year. So that's
but it's
probably
still around, right at 15 minutes.
Right about 15 minutes, 14:53.
Active shooter.
Didn't have any.
I know, but if you had an active shooter,
that'd
that would
priority
be
priority zero.
Priority zero.
Yeah.
So, but your response time would still be, you would say, at least 12 minutes?
Priority zero last year, we were at 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So we're doing
okay. Well, that's
better,
no. That's
it,
better.
It's still not. We need. I think it.
Well, 6 minutes. I mean, let's face it. I mean, unless you're standing there.
But yeah, I mean, if you just look at, and we've talked about this before, look at the general drive time in Redding. It takes more than 6 minutes to get anywhere. So we're doing pretty good. I mean, I always think that, you know, if you look at the crime stuff that the neighborhood police unit is, if we could get the CSOs back on the street, and that would free up a lot of the other officers' time. And so we're actually in the process right now of updating the course of action plan. So at least the blueprint says that I should take the course of action plan I gave to council in 2014 and create a strategic plan. And we're doing that right now. And part of that will be, you know, when funding levels increase, here's how I suggest that the money be spent. And because we're going to do the Tier 1 through 5 presentation to council on May 3rd. It'll be a special council meeting. We did the Tier 0, but that was all the stuff that him and I pretty much agreed on. This is where him and I don't necessarily agree. You know, if you look at his cumulative recommendations for the Redding Police Department, he's recommending like 6 sergeants, 7 officers, and 8 CSOs. I don't need more sergeants. I need more cops and CSOs. So what I'm going to do is present, here's what his recommendation is, and here's how I
Well, you could get more cops and CSOs if you have less sergeants, though, right?
Well, sergeants, obviously, every rank you go up, you're more expensive.
Right.
But, you know, realistically, we have a rank in the police department called the corporal rank. Eventually, I'd like to see that if our staffing level got to a point where we required two full-time supervisors per shift, then it would be good to do away with the rank of corporal and go have them go straight to sergeant, because corporals only work in patrol. And if a guy makes corporal and he never makes it to sergeant, he's stuck in patrol forever. He has no maneuverability within the department whatsoever for special assignments. So it's kind of an odd rank. I'd like to see that go away, but that's, you know, 7-10 years down the
road.
All
I wanted to do was make corporal so I could get off the miss duty. So, but no, okay, that's right. All right. Hey.
But we're going to outline all of that kind of stuff in the strategic plan.
We're still having this battle about, you know, everybody is – are we getting the feeling that people have just said, Chief's got good ideas, but nothing seems to be happening? You know, as hard as our cops work, hard as the sheriff works, hard as the judges work, we're still at the same spot we were 5 years ago. We still don't have a place to put them, and we're not going to have another place to put them for several more years.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, I mean, and now the summer's coming, and the rains have stopped, which means we're going to get our transients back, and plus it's the marijuana season.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of thing that, I mean...
Most of the marijuana stuff that we see...
And Taliban in Afghanistan said they're starting the spring offensive. I see no difference between that and then what's going to happen here.
Well, I think that there is some changes that are going to be very positive, and that's, you know, we've made... I've been chief now almost 4.5 years, and hard to believe that it's gone by in such a fast blink. And we've, despite the, you know, the economic challenges, we've made some good infrastructure improvements in the department with, you know, the dual band radios and the building, and we've our computer system program. The vendor's been selected. We're in contract negotiations now. Next year, that will be a huge system upgrade for the police department. But we've got the next step is we've got to focus. We've got the infrastructure done. When I became chief, we had 15 vehicles over 140,000 miles. They're all gone. We've been able to replace them with new vehicles. Most of our vehicle fleet's in the 50 to 70,000 mile range now. So that we've made the infrastructure improvements. Now it's about getting the staffing level where it needs to be so that we can give better service to this community. And that starts with the CSOs, because the CSOs are the general. Think of them as customer service for the community.
I agree.
There's a couple of things that are also taking place outside of the department that are going to be a huge help to the department. The county's opening a mental health outpatient center. And, you know, you and I have talked numerous times about the need for police staffing, jail bed space, but also that addiction and mental health intervention.
Right.
We're looking at working with the county to try to find a way to open a crisis stabilization unit as part of that, so that we can take our 5150s and get them out of hospital beds and get them the treatment that they need. And then there's some meetings going on right now with nonprofits and other groups about the voluntary sobering center rather than jail. so that we can take people there and engage them in addiction intervention rather than continuing to cycle them around.
You arrest like 4 or 5 of those a day?
It was last year, 647F alone without – 647F is drunk in public without a resisting arrest or 148 TAC 2. It was about 860 last year. It was nine something the year before, almost 1,000 the year before. So
850.
So it's about 2 to 3 a day.
2 to 3 a day.
Yeah. So, but that's just the Reading Police Department. That doesn't count Anderson and right. the Sheriff's Department and the Highway Patrol too. So, you know, I think that when we talk about a sobering center, I don't think that we need one that is, you know, 80 beds like the one in San Antonio. We're not San Antonio. We need one that's more like 7 to 10 beds. And, you know, a lower staffing model, but still has that engagement. And the key of that is that linkage at the end when they're going out to get them immediately linked with. If they say, yeah, okay, I'm ready to change, you have to have that immediate linkage and to be able to call, say, you know, Visions of the Cross or Jonathan Anderson and say, hey, they're here. Come get them. This guy wants to come into your program and right into a drug treatment program.
In housing, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They can't be out on the street anymore. No, I think to me that makes sense. But we're still, the skunk on the table is no matter how many CSOs you have to free up your guys,
well,
no matter how many guys you got on the street, no matter how many the sheriff's got, there's a finite amount of room in that damn jail.
Yeah, but don't underestimate the deterrent value of cops patrolling neighborhoods. Anderson added 3 cops, their crime rate went down, the rest of the county went up, and they're used the same jail. So we do need the jail bed space, and I agree with that, but it is a total package. But don't underestimate the deterrent factor. People don't commit crimes in front of cops. And when cops are in neighborhoods, you know, the neighborhood is safer. So,
well, you know, that's a good point. We need to get Chief Johnson on, too. And those 3 policemen, if it's added those 3 policemen, and the fact, but they don't they have a pretty strong citizens there?
They do.
These guys patrolling the streets, and I think they were chasing at them.
No, that was Cottonwood. But it really is a matter. I mean, I think we're developing plans. You know, the ARC being built, that's 64 beds. What scares me in all of this is I think that as a county, I think we're starting to make headway on a lot of these issues, and it's taken us a while because, you know, all these issues take funding, and the funding hasn't been growing all that fast. But what scares me is the Governor's Public Safety Rehabilitation Act of 2016.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let's take another early break because I just want to get into this because I've got things written down. I cannot believe what they're going to do to us again. Just as you think you might have gotten your head just slightly below water. Now, I'm not saying you're even above water. The Governor is going to come in here and raise the water level another foot. And we're going to talk about that with Chief Rob Plotty right after these messages. And part of this message I think everybody needs to know is brought to you by Bastiani Arms down on Larkspur, 2539 Larkspur. The release of 47,000 more criminals out there, and we're going to talk about that. And these are not your non-violent, non-sexual predators. No, these cover the gamut. These are rapists, murderers, all of these that Governor Brown wants to release under this new program. So, anyway, Bastiani Arms is a perfect place to go pick up your weapon of choice, whether it's a long gun or a pistol. Shotguns, he has it all. He has them at very fair prices. He has all the ammo that you need to shoot with it. He has classes on how to use the guns, hunting classes. He has every type of additional accessory you might want as far as optics and reloading equipment, everything. All of this and great customer service and gunsmithing. All of this, Bastiani Arms. And veterans, he gives a great veterans discount. Give him a call at 222-8222. Bastiani Arms believes in the Second Amendment. We'll be right back after these messages with Reading Police Chief Rob Plotty.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
This is going to be good. Wow!
Rodeo. Steer wrestling. Team roping. Saddle bronc riding. Barrel racing. And, of course, bull riding. Rodeo.
Reading Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bye. Good morning, everybody. It is the 13th of April here, a Wednesday, hump day. 8:32 in the morning, 51 degrees, going up to 69 today. Probably getting a little rain tomorrow. Rain. But by this weekend, 86 degrees. Yeah, it's going to be steamy. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans over there, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Best place in town to get a haircut. The cheers of barbershops. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold and is veteran-owned. Nothing better than Cypress Square Barbershop. Okay. Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti's with us. And we were just, you know what, during the break, we discuss a lot of different things on the break. And this latest one, though, this latest one by Governor Brown has got to be, it's just got to be the name of it. What's the name
of it? Public Safety Rehabilitation Act.
Public Safety Rehabilitation Act. And what it really means is here come 45,000 of our worst out of the prisons and back into your neighborhood.
Basically what it's going to do is do away with determinate sentencing. So it's going to take the sentencing out of the hands of judges and put it to a parole board.
And I tell you what, the judges really like that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take all the computations for credit of time served and put it into the responsibility of the California Department of Corrections, and they can recalculate those to manage their population. So whatever sentence you get is going to be very indeterminate because they can recalculate you at any one time. It's really – it's the only time – in the history of California, where the California District Attorneys Association has sued the governor to block a piece of legislation. That's how strongly the California's district attorneys feel about this. So if you look at Prop 47, first there was AB 109, then Prop 47, now we're going to have the Public Safety Rehabilitation Act of 2016. It's just another hit to, you know, to what we're trying to do. I mean, our arrests were up last year. We made 8,400 arrests, something like that last year. The guys are doing great, and we're taking people to jail. And Tom's holding them as much as he can. He's putting ankle bracelets on them. He's making them do alternative stuff.
I know. He's doing everything he can.
But the here comes another hit. And this is not something that the governor's going to pass. It's going to go to you, the voters. Just like Proposition 47, which, oh, by the way, was not passed by Shasta County voters. But that's another thing that could get shoved down
our throat. It's because people understood up here in Shasta County what it meant. It meant that we were going to get, you know, another inundation of criminals. Now, this one here, is this going to be another initiative out there? And but the way they're going to say it is, oh, we can just, you know, these people have been in, you know, they've been in on these harsh, you know, third strike sentences, and now they need to be taken care of. They're never going to mention the fact about rapes and murders and assaults and all this. Oh, no, this is to get those. Let's get those guys that just used a little marijuana, and now they're in jail for 20 years.
Well,
that's what they're going to use it for.
Yeah, there's nobody in jail for 20 years for marijuana unless they were a major distributor. So
I know that.
You know, that's a fallacy. Right. It really is. I mean, if you look at what's in Shasta County Jail right now, it's criminals.
That's it. It's not Otis from Mayberry.
Tom's got over 20 people in jail for homicide because it takes so long to get them through the system and off to prison. And you know, it really is a matter too. You know, this Shasta County, and you'd have to, you know, have the probation chief in here to talk in detail. But the reincarceration rate for Shasta County has actually gone up. We're the only county in the state of California with a reincarceration rate, according to the state, of double digits. And the reason being, now, if we sentence somebody for a crime under 1178, which is the AB 109 sentencing requirement where they used to go to prison and now they don't, it counts against our reincarceration rate the same as if we stuck them into prison. And now the state wants to cut, because we're not meeting the governor's objective, they want to cut our funding. So because I'm arresting people that commit crimes and the DAs are prosecuting them and we're putting them in jail, the state's going to punish us for doing our job?
How can they do that? Are they saying, well, you're not giving them enough? You're not giving them enough.
The state treats the money.
You're not giving them enough treatment or enough stuff to keep them from their recidivism. Is that what they're saying?
True. It's getting to the point where Tracy, the probation chief, could lose 8 probation officers.
Oh, okay, well, we'll get Tracy on because I know she's a hard worker. Now, somebody said here one of the ways to handle this is to put a hunting season and you start issuing tags.
No comment.
Okay. Terry, good morning. Do you have a comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Boy, California is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
How you doing, Terry?
Doing well. You know, it's really sad. I mean, I don't know how much more the people have to take on this, but I want to encourage you that we're getting closer and closer to a joint resolution and or a court case for the state of Jefferson. And this stuff wouldn't be happening there because the people would have a say in it, and we wouldn't have to tie the hands of our police chief or our sheriff or anybody else. Is there a point, Rob, where sometimes you just think that this is so crazy, I'm just not going to comply?
Well, there's only one state prison system to send them to. So, you know, I was telling Carl, sometimes it feels like, you know, we start to make strides and go the right direction. I feel like that guy that's climbing his way out of a hole, and when he gets to the top, somebody sprays it with a hose and creates mud, and I just slide back down to the bottom. But we're going to keep fighting. My guys they're doing great work, and we're going to continue. Our role in the criminal justice system is to investigate crimes, find criminals, arrest them, and take them to jail, and we're going to continue that role.
Well, I've got some good news for you. We were told by Camille Harris before she left her position that basically all the prisons and all the structures and even the Caltrans equipment that we have up here would, in essence, when this happens, belong to the new state. Now, that would mean that we would have the prisons, and about 98% of those folks would be Californians. So, basically, we could rent the beds to California. Imagine the great salaries we could give our guys. Anyway, I'll leave it with that. And, you know, it's just a tough road to hoe. I really don't know where all this ends. You know, it's tough. I mean, you know, we're not going to get anywhere, though, by having the police restricted just to get the end user on everything. I mean, the main thing is stopping it from the core. Anyway, guys, have a great day. Good program. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. For the short term here, until there is a change to the state of Jefferson, we're having to deal with this. I'm just incredulous about this next thing about turning people loose. And where I thought Proposition 47, I said, how can people pass this, Proposition 47?
They didn't read it.
And yet 70% of the people voted for it. You
because
know?
They didn't read it.
They didn't
understand.
The DA from Humboldt County was on the show here. And I mean, every argument he had, I was tearing it apart. And I said, come on. I said, you're the DA. And he says, and finally he just goes, well, you know, just locking them up doesn't work. Maybe this will. That was his answer. Well, of course, that hasn't worked.
Well, you know, we actually are kind of, and I hate to say we're lucky for a 6.5% roughly property crime increase, but I talked to some chiefs in L.A. County, and they're at 30%. They're now where we were at the first year of AB 109. So, there's San Francisco. Read an article the other day that had the highest property crime percentage increase in the country last year since Prop 47 passed. So, you know, we're doing okay. I mean, but we obviously could always do better. And I think that with some of the things that we're trying, both in the criminal justice system, with the police department, the sheriff's department, but also with the mental health and drug addiction, with sobering centers and mental health, I think we're headed in the right direction. We just have to realize that a lot of these things and putting these together take time.
Well, you know what? I find that I understand what you're saying, and that's the parting line. I mean, I know I'm not saying you, but what you're saying to me, it's all a bunch of crap. The fact is that well over a year ago, when people were elected to sit in that office over in the city council, they said, we are going to change this. We are going to put more cops on the street. We are going to put these people away. We are having public safety. And Brent Weaver, Gary Cadd, Missy MacArthur, Kristen Schrader, and Francie Sullivan, you have not kept your promise. You have not done what you said you were going to do. We still have the blueprint for safety. We have a blueprint for safety that has been over a year. Over a year. It was due out last August, I believe. And here it is, March. Here it is, April. And it is still not out.
The blueprint's out.
But there's what has been done from it.
Well, one of the things we did...
It's maybe out, but it was 6 months late coming out, and nothing... What's been done? I mean, I'm not blaming this on you.
No.
You are not a person in an elected position to make this happen, and yet what we've got some... You know, we got a homeless study. Oh, okay, great, homeless study. We've spent time and effort on the stupid Utah thing about putting... Just giving everybody a house, and now we've got people heading down to San Antonio for the sobering center... thing, which anybody could see was a much better plan than the Utah plan. But we still haven't done anything. This feedback I'm getting, and I know you're getting it. As many people as you arrest, and no matter how good your guys are, no matter how well the sheriff, there has not been one major significant change.
Well, I would argue that the neighborhood police unit's a significant change, and that was four positions for 2 years from council, and look at the result.
Okay. One thing. I mean, and this isn't up to you.
No,
You've got finite resources. Where is, you know what? To paraphrase this little old lady from the 70s, where's the beef? Where's the beef?
You'll see May 3rd when we do the Tier 1 through 5 presentation to Council 2 that I've got some big differences with the consultant on where he recommended that we put people. I don't need a sergeant to coordinate with the homeless, continuum of care council. I think an officer does just fine. So a lot of those are going to be downgrades of position recommendations that he makes and where I think they should go, with a lot more CSOs than what he's recommending. But we'll come on May 3rd, and it'll be an interesting conversation.
All those silly, shallow campaign promises going out there. Let's go to the phones. Ed. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
You have something to say to the chief or just to the
yeah,
world?
I heard that the quickest response to get anywhere would be 6 minutes.
That's for a priority zero, yeah.
Okay, so if there was an intruder or somebody prowling, what level would that be?
It depends on if they're inside or outside the house, but likely that would be a priority one call, and that would be more of the 14-53.
So anything could be got to in 6 minutes, so what would impede an officer from getting somewhere? Is it just the fact, like, let's say a traffic ticket, would that take priority? Would the money take priority over getting somewhere to save somebody?
No, but remember, if you have somebody in custody, you can't just break and leave. So if they have somebody in custody at the jail, we can't just leave.
Yeah,
so
what about a traffic ticket?
Would no, we can just,
from a traffic
absolutely.
Ticket?
Okay.
They can't break from a traffic ticket if there was, like, say, you know, you made a call. There's somebody in my house, and the closest officer was down the street doing a traffic ticket, and that call went out. We have somebody in somebody's house. He would.
But that would be a priority one.
Yes.
What is a priority two? Can you give me an example?
Priority twos are felony reports. And felony crimes that have occurred. Priority three are misdemeanor crimes that have occurred that are waiting for a report. So the scale just goes down whether or not suspects are present or not, and whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor.
Okay, so if somebody's present, automatic number one?
No, not necessarily. Not if it's a misdemeanor. Shoplifting doesn't take precedence over a burglary like you just described.
Oh, burglary, okay. All right, well, thank you very much for answering that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Ed. Well, you know, good questions is that, you know, this has not come out before that where it's a zero, you know, call.
Well, we don't use it very often because we get so few of them.
Right, but that would be an active shooter.
Yep.
In a mall or something like that. Then your guys converge. And you can get the first person there in an average of 6 minutes.
Yeah.
At least as of right now. But if you just had a fist fight on the street and somebody being accosted on the street, that goes back to the
priority one, the right. 1453.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. That
we reserve a very small.
Because I tell people, I said the quickest the police can get to your house on something like a call where somebody's breaking into your house is 14 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. And like I said, we only get about 25 of those priority zero because that's what's happening now. Right. And
okay. Hey, well, let's take a quick break. This portion of the show has been brought to you by our friends at Budget Blinds. Linda is looking at is standing there in the hallway with a thermometer right now, and she says, it's 83 degrees in here. I went, yeah, honey, but she says, in a month, it's going to be 183 degrees. I want window coverings, and I want them now. And she called Jerry at Budget Blinds because Jerry can come in and do anything. If you are tired of those air conditioning bills that go up high enough that you could pay the tuition for 5 children at Stanford, then you probably need to have Budget Blinds come down and let Jerry work his magic on making your house cooler. That's right, keeping the heat out. He's got like 25 different ways of doing that. Give him a call at 226-9027 or go to the web, budgetblinds.com. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back.
Chief Politti is our guest right here on KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song.
Save the date, May 20th. Chicks and Chaps is right around the corner. Deadline for purchasing tickets is May 1st. Only 100 tickets will be sold, and the tickets are selling fast. Chicks and Chaps and the Reading Rodeo Association Auxiliary are holding their 5th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Fundraiser. There will be awesome raffle prizes, a one-of-a-kind buckle from Montana Silversmith, great food by Mary's Pizza, fun and informative guest speakers, including a breast cancer survivor. The proceeds from our event benefit Mercy Foundation North and NorCal Think Pink. Special thank you to Sierra Pacific Foundation, Cinerama, and Dutch Bros. Purchase your tickets now only online before they sell out at www.chicksandchapsreading.com. Chicks and Chaps, May 20th.
This is my fight.
The
Reading chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30043.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to our beautiful Wednesday. What some call it hump day. Wednesday. 13th of April. 51 degrees. No. 51 degrees in the downtown studio. It's going to be 69 today with our rain likely tonight and showers tomorrow. And then, folks, get ready. Get ready to get that sunblock out. Get your sunglasses clean because we are coming up to 88 and 90 degrees this weekend. There you go.
Tomorrow.
Oh, we have a phone call. Somebody's been waiting.
Yes. Dave, good morning. Do you have a question for the chief or just you know, concise statements of
say
how you
hello.
Feel?
Yeah.
This time I have a question for the chief.
All right.
Chief, have you talked to a criminologist or sociologist about why criminals choose to be in Redding and not in Oroville or Eureka or Marysville? Those are all the county, are all county seats. And I know criminals go where it's easiest to collect welfare. But what are the factors pushing criminals out of places to the south? And what are the factors that are pulling criminals to Redding?
Okay, Dave, thank you.
I don't think we're really pulling criminals to Redding from other places. I mean, when I talk to chiefs throughout the state, you know, they've all got property crime issues. And all those property crime issues, I think the biggest challenge that we have in Shasta County, especially with property crime, reverts back to the high usage of methamphetamine and heroin that we have here. And those are you know, problems and conditions that Shasta County, at least on the methamphetamine side, have struggled with for quite some time. So it really does. Most of our property criminals are homegrowns. They're not being brought in. I mean, there's some of the transient population that comes from the surrounding counties, I think, comes here for the resources in Redding. And probably the surrounding county comes to Redding because this is where your population base is, so that's where your victims are for property crime. But I don't see – we're not arresting property criminals because they came in to steal, because they came out of L.A., Oroville, or someplace else. Every community has their property criminals.
Okay. We're in the spring. We're going to be getting more people coming in because of the marijuana growth, right?
We didn't. I didn't see as much of it last year since the outdoor ban. However, places like Siskiyou County and others that don't have an outdoor ban actually have. John Lopey said that people were buying property in Siskiyou County because they didn't have an outside ban, and Shasta County did. So we'll see what the effect of that is going to be. But typically in the spring, yeah, we start getting the marijuana crowd that comes in for the grows.
Can you just give the people a quick and dirty on how to protect their stuff?
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about crime prevention through environmental design and trimming your bushes and locking your doors, putting good locking device, secondary locking devices, lighting your property, bow wow, get the dogs fired up. It really is. But when it comes to your vehicle, and that's where a majority of our theft is taking place, just make sure there's nothing in there to steal. If your $400 Oakley sunglasses look good on the dash to you, well, they're going to look good to them too. So just try to make sure that your car is sterile when you leave, and make sure there's nothing in there to steal, and you shouldn't have a problem. You know, like I said, I mean, I'm in here for an hour, but my computer's sitting next to me because I'm not going to leave it in a car.
Even a police car.
Even a police car.
Right. Rachel would like to say thank the chief for the Neighborhood Patrol Program. She's noticed a difference in the Starview District and feels safer going on walks with her young children.
That's good. The Reading Inn case was done by the Neighborhood Police Unit. They've served about 7 or 8 search warrants. If you look at that slide deck, that was through about 4 weeks ago, April 19th at the council meeting. I'm going to do an update with council on the latest statistics relative to what the Neighborhood Police Unit has produced. And I will bring in with me next month when I come in, I'll bring the historical response time data so that we can go through what priority 1, 0, 1, and 2 are, where our response time now. I'm going off the top of my head and giving you round numbers. I'll be able to give you exact numbers, and we can take that all the way back to 2008.
Are you still recommending that people be able to protect themselves in their homes and their persons?
Absolutely.
So could you explain to our listeners, when you talk about the Neighborhood Watch?
Neighborhood Police Unit.
Neighborhood
Police.
So
different than Neighborhood Watch.
Okay, so these are police men.
Absolutely.
Police people.
It's a sergeant, a corporal, and 4 officers.
Okay.
And they're out doing longer-term community policing projects, larger projects. Patrol officers, because they're answering calls for service, most of their community policing projects that they take on are smaller in scale. They take less time. These are the big community policing projects, and working with the DA's office, like the Reading Inn, Hilltop Lodge. We've actually seen, in general, at the 9 hotels that we put online for our biggest problem hotels, 5 of them are actively working with the Neighborhood Police Unit to reduce calls for service at their hotels. So we've seen upwards of 45% since we published those numbers. So we've got a lot of projects going on that actually are having a very good effect.
Some of the things we've seen in the papers lately, it seems like, this man's been arrested 15 times, this man's been arrested 20 times, she's been arrested 14 times. I love it when they put those statistics in there. I wish you would continue to do that, because sometimes we don't see that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, there's a good and bad with that, is that when we do that, then everybody calls the sheriff and screams at the sheriff because he let him go. And we do not put them in there as a dig to the sheriff. We get them in there to inform the public of, the need for jail bed space and other things. An informed public.
They should not call the sheriff. They should call the Board of Supervisors, Chief Leonard Modi and Dave Kehoe. They should call them and say, why has this guy been released 20 times?
Well, they could call the state of California, too, and ask them why they're building a train instead of prisons, but that's getting a little too much into politics.
Because we don't want to incarcerate them anymore. Okay, with the on a lighter note, is it true that the Reading Police Department has challenged the Sheriff's Department to a slap the bull contest at the Reading Rodeo this year?
No. I got enough workman's comp issues already.
That you and the sheriff, they're going to put a Brahma bull out there, and one of you would go out and slap, and you two would go out and slap the bull and then try and get away.
Yeah, sounds fun, but for somebody else, not me. I'll let the rodeo clown do that.
Wolfie?
Yeah, I will tell you, too, if you have a community group or somebody, or, Lions clubs, Kiwanis clubs, Rotaries, whatever, we started a program about a year and a half ago, that Force Options for Citizens that we're doing, and it really is it's gotten national attention, and we may get a visit from the legislators from Sacramento to come actually go through the program in Little Old Reading. We've gotten inquiries from as far east as Washington, D.C.
Which program?
Basically, what we do is we bring a community group in. We've had the local chapter of the NAACP, ACLU. They actually brought reps from their San Francisco office, Youth Violence Prevention Council, SCAR, 2 grand juries, elected officials, and it's a 4-hour program. They get a class in all the legal parameters of police use of force. They analyze videos with my staff, and then they actually get a chance to stand in front of the shoot, don't shoot video trainer and experience it for themselves. One of the gentlemen that came in the other night, his resting heart rate was 80. We ran him around a little bit, got it up to 90. He stood and did an active shooter video, and he went up to 138 beats a minute standing in front of a video screen. So it shows the physiological effect.
Do you let them shoot, make their mind up whether they're going to shoot or not?
Yes.
I know the shoot simulator is a great tool,
and most of the people leave very, very
it's very educational.
Very educational. Yeah, they get to see what happens, and I talk to them about the psychological effects after a shooting. So
how's the recruiting going? We're going to recruit local guys and send them
down
there.
We have 2 openings right now that we opened to recruit for. That testing is Saturday the 23rd, I think it's the Cool April Nights weekend. Bad planning on our part. And we have lateral testing on the 21st. As soon as I opened recruit, I got 5 lateral applicants. So, but I have 3 more retirement.
Lateral from?
From other areas, from other police departments. One of them, a couple of them very experienced from other departments.
You're going to continue to harvest the sheriff's deputies?
I don't tell people where to apply. You know,
harvest again. Yeah. Oregon sounds like harvesting. We talked about this the other day.
Tom gives me hell about that all the time. I'm not going to turn down good employees for the Reading Police Department. Most of these are not. But we also have 3 anticipated retirements by December. So that will free up 3 more that we are going to establish.
I would like to see how this works with when you take a homegrown kid and put him through the school and bring him back.
Well, and I had an oversight on the last testing, and we have 30 college units that are required.
Uh-huh.
And the next time we put it out, I think that 4 years of honorable military service should count the same as 2 years of college, because not every kid that comes out of the service actually fills out the, I don't know, DD form 795, whatever it is, and transcripts his units. And they really need to do that, because that would be the 30 units they need.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thanks a lot there.
Oh, thank Chief you Rob, for keeping us informed here on KCNR.
Tomorrow, we're going to have a gentleman running for Board of Supervisors, Mr. Venus, and also John Browney from the Red Bluff Roundup. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, good guys against bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta Reddick. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Wally Hines. About 39,000 Verizon workers are on the picket line today. They're angry about the potential outsourcing of some work.
We understand they're in a competitive environment. We made all those competitive changes. The changes we will not make is to give our jobs to subcontractors who get paid less and do shoddy work, or contractors in a call center out of state or in foreign countries.
Ed Mooney, the Communications Workers of America, the strike shouldn't affect mobile phone users. Prosecutors say a white North Carolina police officer who shot a black man acted in self-defense and won't be facing criminal charges. The case had sparked protests at a predominantly black neighborhood back in February. The judge and lawyers in the case of a Georgia man accused of intentionally leaving his toddler son in a hot SUV to die have begun questioning potential jurors. Justin Harris faces charges including murder and has been in jail since the day his son died. Oregon's Jeff Merkley has become the first senator to endorse Bernie Sanders.